Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in again to KMT's Hot Topics. I am your host, Kaixa Rodriguez, and our co-host, Tony, is still unavailable, but he sends his love and well wishes and promises to be back very soon. it is January the 12th, and we are going to be blessed tonight with author, playwright, Ms. Vanessa Richardson, and She is, to me, I mean, I was led to her. She holds the exact same name as my aunt who passed about 11 years. Her name is Vanessa Richardson. So when I saw her name, I thought she was family. I was like, oh, this has got to be family. I mean, Vanessa Richardson. And she ended up not being family, but I just feel so blessed to have even come across her name and led to meet her and talk to her and find out what a wonderfully blessed woman she is. And you will know that, too, later on. So I'm going to do my poem, and then we're going to get right to her. She is on the line. I'm assuming one of these two callers are her. And we're going to get right to her so that you can I'm sorry, I was reading someone's comment in the chat room. Adriana is in the chat room. She can't hear for some reason. I think that's my fault. Hopefully she can hear now. So let me get to the poem. My poem, this is my poem to when I'm in one of those modes when my faith is low, when I'm feeling like I've screwed up yet another time. This is a poem that I wrote one time just to, you know, my outpouring to say, you know, I know I'm a mess up, but thank you for loving me. So I'm going to do that poem, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. And then we will get there. Adriana, I know you can't hear me, but I'm going to close out the chat and then open it back up. So if anyone else is in chat, come right back in. I'm going to close it out because she can't hear for some reason. And I know there's a guest in the room, and you can't tell me if you can hear or not because you're not signed in. But that's what I'm going to do. So come right back to the chat. I'm going to close it out and then open it back up and hope that that fixes her problem and that she'll be able to hear when it opens back up. So you guys will get kicked out, but hopefully you'll come right back in. Oh, no, you didn't get kicked out. You're still there. That's great. So let me get to the poem. The name of it is Father. I know I haven't been so faithful. I know I haven't always followed your path. I know I go left when you tell me to go right. I know I ignore your guidance from your hand. Sometimes I get impatient of the things doing in your time, not mine. I want it to move now, and you've got a more personal lesson to show me in making me stay. I know I cry to you, then shut you out, then cry even louder when the lights are about to be turned out. I know I make bad decisions, and I say I don't know why. I know sometimes my decisions keep me up at night crying. It is at that time I can feel you touching gently on my shoulder saying, it's going to be all right. If no one else ever says it, you do. If no one else ever forgives me, you will. If no one else ever says I love you, I know you will, and I know now you do. If no one else cares for me unconditionally, you do. If no one else is ever there till the end, you will be. Thank you for being a God that loves me through all my mix-ups, through all my screw-ups, through all my self-sabotage, my mind hiccups, turning back on your ways. Thank you for never shutting the door, no matter what I've done or how low I've been. Thank you for loving me. Even when I didn't know, you were still looking out for me. So that's my little quick poem this morning. And thank you. Adriana's waving. We have a few guests in the room. I thank you all for tuning in. We're going to head right now to the phone line and get to Miss Vanessa, because that's who you guys are all here to talk to. And I know she's been patiently waiting for me. Hello.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm awesome. How are you, Mother?
I am feeling quite delicious, there's my words, tonight.
I know, I was waiting for you to say it. I didn't want to use it before you.
Feel free to use it during the duration of the interview.
I love that word. The first time you said it, I was like, oh, I love that thing. That is just delicious. I love that.
It does something, doesn't it? It just wakes something
it
inside
does.
Of me.
Mm-hmm. You can't help but smile. You cannot be in a bad mood and say delicious. You can't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful tonight. It's been, you know, with the new move, it's been a lot getting used to things. You know, they've had school closings, we're back home, we'd be laughing. You know, so getting used to things, still unpacking, you know, still trying to, you know, you're in a new state, we're thousands of miles. My sister just had surgery Monday, so it was rough. It's been a rough week so far, but you know.
And you're a survivor.
I am. God has put it in me. You know, we just keep on surviving and bouncing back. So,
you know, daughters of Zion, we do that. We rise.
Yes, we do. We don't know how, but we do. Hi, Raheem. I see you. Thank you for tuning in.
Hi, Raheem. How are you?
Another wonderful supporter. I love him.
Awesome.
So, Miss Vanessa, first, before we get to anything else, you just told me something when you inboxed me. You got to share it, everybody. On her website, if you go to her website, VanessaRichardson.net, VanessaRichardson.net, she's got the most wonderful butterflies on her website.
Aww.
And the blue ones, I love the blue ones. Because it's like a turquoise-ish, almost turquoise-ish, royal bluish color. That is like, has become my new favorite color. And
wow.
We went to the Butterfly Museum back home. I saw one of those and chased it around the Butterfly Museum until I could get a picture of it. So when I saw your page, I was like, oh my goodness, she has butterflies on her page. And then you said, what did you say to me about your name?
Oh yeah, Vanessa actually means butterfly.
Yes. I was like, that is so awesome.
Isn't it awesome?
I was like, well, that is the most delicious. That is so delicious.
It's delicious. And I like that. I think it aptly fit me and anyone who's in a transition in their life. And if you read my Facebook page, I said that because in order to morph or transform or go through transition to a butterfly, you have to go first become that caterpillar, and that's the ugly state, just the nasty state, if you will. Just don't know who you are, just crawling low for me. And it's a transition and it's a change to get to that butterfly state, and you have to go in a cocoon, and that's when you're by yourself. And I tell people all the time, in my life, I'm using the metaphor, the butterfly, but in my life, sometimes you have to go in a cocoon, shut yourself off, and sometimes for me as a Christian, and I say this wholeheartedly, I'm a follower of Christ, and I hope I don't lose any viewers out there, but that's who I am. God will shut me away from certain things or certain situations, and tests and trials will come, and that's what I say to everybody, key, if you will. When tests and trials come, be careful of those. Those are silent moments where your teacher, whom I credit to God, it seems like he's withdrawn himself, his presence away from me, but I know he hasn't. I just don't feel him sometimes in my testing moment. And in those moments, I have to be very careful and cautious that I don't make any haste decision, because my flesh and my mind and the situation would dictate to me to make haste decisions, and it'll be wrong decisions. So I have to be very careful in my cocoon and just be calm and stay and have faith and belief and do what is mandated of me and don't do the wrong when someone especially does me wrong, you know, and situations is wrong. So I have to be calm and cool. So when a butterfly is in its cocoon, that's when it is working the most, because it's changing. It's morphing into something greater and better. So yeah, I like that, the caterpillar to the butterfly state. So we're going to come out vibrant, full of color, full of life.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I remember one of my last pastor before we moved here, my pastor used to use that example of the butterfly and the going from that caterpillar to a butterfly and getting in that cocoon, and it's tight and it's uncomfortable and it's dark and you're there and you're by yourself. But that is the time when you, like you said, you transition from, you know, being something that you don't like. You know, when we go from doing the things of the world to when you get into that quiet place and you focus on God and you put all your attention to him, and then you transform and you become, you know, in a sense, you know, this butterfly of God, this beautiful thing, because you got to that stage, because you allowed yourself to get to that stage where you shut everything else out and you didn't care. You know, I'm sure if you asked, the caterpillar? Did he want to get into that cocoon? Did he want to get wrapped up all tight and, you know, turn into this big, huge thing, but I had to be swamped into this tightly wrapped thing? No, he don't want to do that.
Absolutely,
you know?
Not. Okay.
No.
You're right.
But the end result is, look at what, you know, so if we think of it that way, we start off here, we change here, but look at where we end up. You know,
absolutely.
Look at where we end up.
I like that. I like that. And let me just throw this singleness in here, too, for those who are single. The caterpillar, when he or she, when she's ready, she takes to the air. She takes to the sky, and she let off this aroma indicating to her partner that she's ready to mate with him and her. And it's not just that certain one that it's one to mate with. That scent, that right one, her mate would pick up on her scent and mate with her. When I found that out, Kia, I was like, whoa, that's hot right there. That is simply delicious. Describing
wow.
the athlete. So when
yeah,
you're ready.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Isn't that delicious? So
that
those
is.
Who are in transition, when you're ready, financially, when you're ready, mentally, when you're ready, physically, your aura, your aroma will resonate with him, signifying that he is the one. Look where he at right now, Keith, that he's the one for you. And don't be fooled now. Because sometimes we have these wolves comes in sheep clothing, but just be focused and all that. Let your aroma permeate the air, and that right one will come.
Yeah, I mean, they say, you know, and we got to get back to your book and stuff, but they say, you know, women and men, but we shouldn't have our list. We shouldn't make our list too high. You know, God will send you the right one, and God will, but he knows.
I hear that.
It also says ask him what you want. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you're looking for. And don't just say, well, I want a man with some money that's going to take care of me because, okay, that's what he going to give you. Now, you didn't say you wanted him to treat you right. You didn't say, you know, you wanted him to be an outgoing man. You didn't say you wanted him to be a God-fearing man. You know, be specific in your prayers. Don't be afraid to be as specific as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, there's this show called What Chili Wants. I have not looked at that yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you seen that?
I've seen it once. I think her list, now, I think you can have your list too high. And
okay.
I think there is not a man on earth. If there is, there's only one. And, I mean, she needs to be in deep prayer to find that so that that man can be sent to her. Because her list is like, he got to be this tall and weigh this amount and have this much money and have this and can't drink, can't smoke, you know, got to be a God-fearing man, which I understand those three. But her list is like, it goes on for years. Forget days.
Wow.
Her list goes on for years.
Wow. That's what I was saying.
She isn't happy
to look at it.
She's not happy with anybody.
Wow.
She's not happy with anybody. I feel sorry for her. I'm like, she's excluding everyone. I mean, and you're never going to find and that's what we have to understand. You're not going to find everything on your list. But, there, you know, make your list and understand, okay, what can I not live without? What am I not willing to sacrifice on? Because you're not going to find everything, you know, but if it's very, very important to you that he never forgets to put the toilet seat down, okay.
Oh, wow.
You
wow,
know
did
what
you
mean?
Put that in there?
I don't know.
Like,
but,
oh,
I mean, you got, you know,
oh.
you have some people who seriously flip, you know, but no, understand what's really, really important. You know, what is really important and what can be worked on. There are some things that you can work through once you find that one who meets, you know, seven of your 10 on your list. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Some things you can work on. As you get to know someone, you'll learn, you'll grow. He'll learn what's important to you. You'll learn what's important to you. You got people to say, I ain't changing for no man. I ain't changing for no woman. Well, then stay single.
Right. Absolutely.
Because some
right.
type of change is necessary.
You're right.
You know?
You're absolutely right. And that change starts with within. Can't no one change a person. He or her have to want change to change him or
exactly.
themselves. You know? So
exactly.
we're not really
that
deviating
person
from the topic.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Mm-mm. No. But let's go ahead and jump right into your book.
Okay.
The Certain Ones. Let's jump right into your book.
Yes. The Certain Ones.
Now, your book is Love Will Find Me, right? No,
Love
Found
Me and The Certain Ones.
There it goes. I knew I was close.
He was close.
Now, how long ago did you write this one?
This book was December 2008, Love Found Me.
Okay.
Oh, no, 2009. Okay. 2009.
Okay. And this one, this is the one that's where he already had everything. He had the perfect marriage. He, you know, was a Christian man. He had everything. And then he loses his wife. And some time passes, and he begins to feel that maybe he's found love again.
Yes. Let me just say, I've just recently, I'm still on a high, just last Saturday, we did the stage production, actually, of Love Found Me, and we was honored to have actors. For those of you who don't know, he starred in Tyler Perry's The Marriage Counselor, and Why Did I Get Married, the stage production, Tony Grant, and he took the character, our hero, Mike Montgomery, to another level. It was just spectacular, just a phenomenal transition from book to stage play. And he mastered it. He did it. He brought it on home.
That is so, such a blessing. That is, I know I saw, and I think one of the times I listened to your show, he was on there with you, wasn't he?
He was, actually, yes.
Okay.
Did quite a few interviews with me.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful.
Had a ball.
And now, was that the first showing?
Yes, that was the first showing. I'm planning on going on tour with Love Found Me, the stage production. I'm getting all my dates together. So if you want us to come to a city near you, please hit me on my website, www.VanessaRichardson.net. Again, it's www.VanessaRichardson.net. I got Atlanta on the radar. That's in North Carolina, so that's where I'm at. Couple places. So if you want me to perform this production, hit me up, www.VanessaRichardson.net. You will not be disappointed. It was just spectacular. I do them every year, Key, actually. And every year it gets better and better. And I credit God, as always, for doing what he does.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I can't wait. I would love to see it. So we'll have to see when you get into the Richmond area. You have to let me know.
Virginia, that's right. Virginia definitely is on the radar also.
Mm-hmm. You have to let me know so that I can find a way to get out there.
Absolutely. Do you act?
I did.
Sing?
Actually, before I left Springfield, I had done one play. There's a woman that she owns a magazine, and then she broke off into doing plays. I had wrote a couple of plays, and we were working on, you know, if we were going to do one together, but I had done one, her first one. They called me and like, oh, the person we had, we want to see if you want to do it. And I was like, you want me to be what? Because I played a prostitute in the play. So I was like, you think I'd be perfect to play a prostitute? Thank you. Not an ego boost, but it was fun. It was really fun because you get to be wild and crazy and, you know, wear all types of crazy hair and makeup and
you're
stuff.
Right.
So it was really fun. It was the funnest part, you know.
Well, you know what? If I come to Virginia, you might have to do a little cameo or something.
Oh, we'll talk.
How about that?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yes, when you come this way, we'll definitely have to talk. Because I love plays. I mean, I love live entertainment. I'm not, you know, I like today's music, but I love, like, get me out, let's go see a band. You know, I love the atmosphere of live stuff, a poetry.
You're right.
Things like that. I love that type of stuff.
Oh, kudos on your poem.
Well,
opening, I appreciate that. Delicious.
I did it especially for you. You know,
thank
woman
you.
Of God, got to do something. Not that, you know, I've done erotic stuff in the past or anything like that, but normally I do like a love poem or something like that. And it's been on my heart to do this poem for the past two shows, but I couldn't find it. And I was like, I got in the house, well, I got here to prepare like 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes before, and I'm flipping through my poetry book, like, where is that poem? And I came right to it, and I was like, oh, see, it was destined for me to do it tonight, because I've been wanting to do it.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Really do. Really touched me.
You're welcome. Yeah. Now, your second book, when is that? Is that already out, the second one?
The second one is not. The second installation in my love series is called Love Lifted Me, and I am working on it frantically. And that's going to be Eric's story. He's Mike's best friend. And you guys, if you enjoyed Love Found Me, if you read it, I know you enjoyed it. And thank you for your emails. If you haven't, hey, go out and get your copy. Really, you're going to enjoy it. It's not preachy at all, and it's going to be quite surprising to you when you get it. It's an inspirational suspense, kind of borders on mystery. So get you a copy of that. But Eric, he is just, whoa. He is alpha male. He's a detective, and he is in pursuit of someone on his radar, Raina Peterson. And he's just a delicious character, difficult character to write. I've never had this challenge before, Key, in writing heroes. But he's given me quite a challenge, and I appreciate him doing this to me because it's going to be exciting. If I'm excited, I know the reader is going to be excited. And the book is titled Love Lifted Me, and it should be released in 2011.
Okay. So that's good. That one should be coming out sometime this year, so that'll be great. We'll have to get you back towards the end of the year when that one comes out. Raheem
Absolutely.
Said, don't forget Philly.
Philly, that's right. Philadelphia. Oh, you got
yes,
it.
You
said,
make sure you don't forget Philly.
All right, Raheem. I do this all the time. Do you act or sing, Raheem?
See? Let's see what he says. You know, we come up there, you have to pull you in, Raheem. You suggested
you
your
know
town.
It.
We'll have to pull you up
I
on stage.
Always have a plan B.
There you go.
That's plan B.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a plan B. So how fun was it doing the play of your book?
Oh, my word. It's a bittersweet experience. For those who are playwrights, I guess they can understand what I'm saying. But sometimes things don't always go as expected, okay? And to
mm-hmm.
put these productions on, it takes stamina, it takes finances, it takes an awesome cast, because it's just words if you don't have a phenomenal cast bringing it to life. And I was blessed to have those elements with this production. I really call them dramas and not plays, because if you come to one and you sit in the audience, it's like, and I get this all the time, it's like you're watching a movie. It's like you know these people. You know these people via your family member or friend or either yourself. So you're saying, hey,
mm-hmm.
that's me. Or, hey, that's my aunt. Hey, that's my cousin. So you really see it taking place. And even Tony Grant, I'm serious, he was so blown away by the dialogue that was written. And I'm saying this humbly. It's not me. God really masterminded this, because I wrote this production within a month's time. You know, so I had to transition some things from the book to stage because it don't work as well. In a book you can read, but a
yes.
stage
mm-hmm.
play you have to bring it to life and things of that nature. So she was like mesmerized. She was like, wow, powerful dialogue. And I'm like, wow, really? Tony Grant saying this, you know? So I was humbled by his performance. I was humbled by the dialogue. I was humbled by the response from the audience. Just the gamut, the whole gamut of things. I was just humbled by everything. So, yes, to do the stage production, I was very humbled by it, just to see it come to fruition, to see the actors do what they do. It was just, I'm like, wow, where did this come
yeah.
from? God is a wonder, and I'm just so happy.
Yeah, it's got to be, you know, so gratifying, you know, not just to write a book and get it out. You know, that's one. You wrote it, you published it, you got it out, people love it. Now you take it and you transform that to a whole nother level when people can also, and it's a whole, like you said, it's a whole different experience reading it, you know, and trying to visualize it and then putting it into a play version where now it's right before your eyes and it's a little bit different. You know,
absolutely.
It's the same story, but it's gonna, you know, it's gonna touch you and, you know, tug at you a little bit differently. A play, the same thing, you know. If, okay, now your next step is turning it into a show or a movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna speak that. And
thank
you. Know,
you. I received that.
Yes, girl. And you know, and then that will touch people even differently. You know, when you take it to a movie level, you know, that's a different. You know, it's probably more comparable to the play, but still a little different because there's so much more you can do when you
uh-huh.
take it to the movie level versus the play level.
Absolutely.
Yes, we're definitely speaking all types of over the top, as far as it can go, as high as it,
yes.
God is willing to take you, definitely.
Yes, I received that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're so welcome. So what else is going on? So what is the next? Are you just putting together? I'm sorry. Are you just putting together the tour? Do you have any dates already lined up?
I'm actually putting together the tour. I'm getting some calls, like I said earlier, to come to their state. So I'm adding on. I like the sound of that. Mm-hmm. I'm adding on instead of just waiting. So
yes.
And there's a difference. So I'm adding on and just really not making any haste decision. Like I said, I'm in a cocoon, really chilling, because for me it's not really about the finances and all that. I'm kind of unorthodox. I'm an unorthodox kind of playwright. I really am. I'm so not into loud crowd and all that. I do what I have to do. I like making people laugh. I like making people happy. Even within those 2 hour spans, I give a message, and then we give inspiration, because the singing was just phenomenal. I wish you was there. The singers took it to the next level. So we ministered through songs, through messages, and the laughter was off the chain. So it was an element of all those things combined, and it worked out good. And I'm not just whistling Dixie. I'm not being boastful. I'm honestly saying this because I sit back and I allow the cast and the musicians what they have to do, and I feast off the responses from the audience and those who email me. And the verdict is in that, yes, they really enjoy not only the book Love Found Me, but the stage production. And to see something come to life, morph to life, is even more impacting. You can read it, and it impacts you too, but to see it actually perform, it's just taking it to another level. It was just the synergy in there was just phenomenal. I can't even really describe it. I'm still humbled by it.
And I'm so sure that it was, you know, like you said, it's humbling, it's over the top, it's, you know, being in a play versus being the one who actually wrote it. You know, like you're in it and you're excited and you're happy all these people, you know, showed up and they're laughing at your lines when they're supposed to laugh. But, you know, to be the creator of it has got to be, you know, the way the actor or actress feels times like 100. You know, you get
absolutely
all the nerves, you get all the butterflies, you get, okay, is this going to go over? Is anybody going to show up? I know they bought tickets, but are they actually going to come? Are they going to get it? Are they going to understand it? Are they going to like it? You know, and then when you see everyone responding, you know,
it's like you're a mother. You done birthed this, and you're a proud mother, and you labored for hours before, and that baby is birthed. You're exhausted, but you step back, and you look like, wow, look at my baby.
Yes, graduation day.
I birthed
The day.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's got to be such a wonderful feeling, you know.
It's delicious.
And I mean, a play is so, it's so different than a book, because like with a book, you don't see this, you know, you kind of see the sales right away, but you don't get to see the reader's expression, or you don't get to see how the reader liked the book. You know, thank you for buying it. You know, it's about as much as you get, unless they, you know, are your friends on Facebook or they email you or something like that. But still, you don't get to see it. You don't get to feel it. You know, whereas in a play, you're right there. You actually can feel the environment. It's wonderful. It's got to be. I can only imagine, you know, just how wonderful.
It's wonderful and delicious how all this morphed into my, there's three entities with me. I'm a minister. The second one is I'm a writer, author, and the third one is a playwright. And you have to balance these things. I went through, I told you earlier about my being, my name is Vanessa, and the caterpillar from the butterfly. There's always someone in your life who deposits something in you, especially when you're not sure and you have a gift. I remember in my 12th grade year, I was going through a transition, a terrible transition, where someone broke into my home and they literally turned my world upside down. I wasn't violated in that. Physically, I was violated in my home. You still feel violated as a woman. So we had to unpack and move to another neighborhood, another place. So when we went to this high school, I felt like out of place. I was withdrawn and all that. But I had this wonderful English teacher named Miss Merritt, 12th grade, right? And she saw something in me that I did not see. And she was just phenomenal. And I love her teaching style. And she started teaching Macbeth. Oh, my goodness, I am such a huge fan of Shakespeare. Well, her method was this. We had to learn some little bits of Shakespeare, and we had to perform them with extra props and all that. Well, I find something unique about myself. When I looked at Shakespeare, I could retain his words. It was easy for me to do, and I looked at my classmates, and they were struggling with it, you know. Fire, my lord, fire, soldier in the field, why must we fear? When nothing call us to a cop, you know. I just totally dug it. And they were like, okay, this is terrible. It's hard. I can't do it. And I'm not trying to demean them. But that's how I just loved it. So she saw something in me. And I was withdrawn, Kat. And I just was in a shell, a bottle and all that. They were mad at the world. Didn't want to be there. But she saw something and she targeted at me. And I got in front of the classroom and Vanessa just disappeared. And I became the maid, you know. And I looked up. I was so engrossed in the character, I looked up. My class member's mouth was open, still gape. And I looked at the door. People were standing in the door, you know, because I had on costume. And I was like, wow, what happened when I did it? When I was finished with the skit, everyone just started applauding. There was a resounding noise. And I knew then that I wanted to act. And that was like, what, 19 years ago? I'm like, wow. She acting allowed me to release something in me that I couldn't as Vanessa. A lot of actresses this day, I don't know if you know this or not, and actors are very introvert. They're shy. But when they get on that stage, they lose themselves in that character. They come out, they express themselves, they release themselves. But that's what acting does for me or did for me. And that's why I implemented the program at my church. I have an acting ministry, and I allow these young youth to come in, and we meet every Tuesday and Wednesday, and we talk and dialogue, and I allow them to become these characters, and they release themselves. And then after the course of our meetings, which lasts about 3 months, we perform the stage productions. Yes, we do. And these people who were once bitter, had these shells, these walls built up around them, they changed. They morphed into other people because of the community that we built around them. I mean, that's why I love art programs. It's really helpful, and it makes you more appreciative of them.
Yeah, I mean, being able, people find it hard that I'm naturally quiet, reserved. I'm the person that, funny, loves to have get-togethers, loves to have dinner parties, will cook and invite everybody I know over. But when we go out, even at my own get-togethers, I'll be the quiet one over in the corner. Or when we all get up, you know, get dressed, I'm the quiet one over in the corner. No matter where we go, I'm the quiet one. But, you know, doing plays and stuff like that, it gives you a chance to be somebody else.
Absolutely.
You know,
you have it.
People assume, even musicians, they're the same way. You know, a lot of them are not that boisterous, outgoing persona that they're allowed to be once they step out onto stage.
Absolutely. Michael Jackson, for instance. Janet Jackson, for instance. It was all, when they got on that stage, they were someone else. But when they was off, totally different people. Very introverted.
Yes. Yes. Now, you've written more than one play, correct?
Yes, I've written several. Help me out. Okay. Why do bad things happen
why
to good
do,
people?
Lord, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the fullness of time. Is there another one? Am I missing one?
Mama Rainey, Love Found Me. Oh, a couple of them.
Wow.
Yeah, I try to do them every year.
Okay.
Every year. And this one, I'm working on this. Pardon me? I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying you're doing big things.
I'm trying to. I really am, with the help of God. I'm actually working on Love Lifted Me, the stage production also, and the novel.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do these every year, and just trying to make it do what it do.
Now, all your other stage plays, are they also books, or are those ones just plays?
Actually, Love Found Me was my first book turned into a stage production.
Oh, wow.
It was actually easier for me. That's why I think it was much better this time because some of the cast members were able to read the book, so it came out clearer to them.
Okay.
I wrote the production in book form. I don't know if you know The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams. I love that production. And I kind of did it similar to that. So, yeah, it was kind of easy for them and me too.
Okay. So that's cool. That's cool. Now, so you okay, my phone's going off on the side of me, made me totally lose my train of thought.
Uh-oh.
I was about to ask you a question and then it just totally disappeared.
Wow.
We're gonna say another question then. We're going to go to something else. So how long, I know you mentioned that you're a minister. How long have you been a minister?
I've been a minister for quite a while now. It was a title that I did not embrace, did not want to embrace. There we go again. You know how we don't want to answer the call. You said that earlier. Did not want to answer the call to be a minister because I was kind of shy and reserved. With acting, it's totally different. You can act. But being a minister, if you're authentic and you're real, you have to, like, examine yourself. And I tell people this all the time, and you can listen to me and listen to me well. I'm not going to lead while bleeding. I'm not going to do that because I went through a 7-year ailment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sickness, ladies. And it's named catamenial pneumothorax. And this is my testimony. And this is when a woman has her cycle and it causes her lungs to collapse. And this only affects yes, 1% of women here in America. And I've had a total of 10 chest tubes and a portion of the lung removed. And this is where it gets my faith walk began. I've written the book called The Certain Ones. You're not forsaken. You're chosen for purpose. Now, catamenial pneumothorax affected me when I was in my early 20s, okay? And I fought this thing, and I couldn't fight it anymore because my blood count was 6, and the norm is 12. And eventually the body just gave out, and my doctor said, well, Vanessa, we've done all we can, and you have to have emergency hysterectomy. Bear in mind, I made the promise to God that I was not going to have any kids out of wedlock, and I wasn't going to engage in any extramarital affairs. That was my vow. So here I am, lying in the bed, saying, why am I here? I'm the one who sacrificed. I'm the one who gave up. And I got so angry. So much rage was inside me. And I'm saying to myself, who do I direct this rage at? Who? God? I mean, who do you blame for sickness? There was no one to blame, really. And I wanted to blame God. I was angry because I felt like he forgot, forsaken me, you know. So the title came, The Certain Ones, You're Not Forsaken, You're Chosen for Purpose, because I began to read the Bible, and it always mentioned about this woman in the Bible who had suffered from an issue of blood, and it said The Certain One. And I kept reading again and talking about certain man, then he'd give his testimony, and what certain stuck out to me. And it's like someone who's different and chosen for something. So I was like, wow, certain, unique. The Certain One, You're Not Forsaken, You're Chosen for Purpose, which is what we are. You're not forsaken. I thought I felt forsaken, but I'm not. That was like a couple years ago. Fast forward to today, Kai, I've written three books. I performed dramas. I met actor Tony Grant. I interviewed C.C. Winans. I've done all this. And if I had not gone through that ailment, what I've been through, trust and believe that I wouldn't be the woman that I am here today. Trust and believe I would not even have dialogue with you. Trust and believe those in the chat room or have read my book would not have read it because of what I went through. Now, was the process good? Was I hurting? Yes, I was. But I'm a firm and sound believer that if you make the right decision in your situation, that you can come out strong. You can rise up like the phoenix, you know. You're not taking your children for purpose.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
That
catamenial pneumothorax.
Yeah, I saw that on your website, on your webpage, it was one of the questions I was going to ask you was what was it, if you felt comfortable talking about it. That is, I've never heard of it. Like you said, it you know, touches such a small, you know, number of women that most women probably have never heard of it. And like you said, the human response is when things happen to us to blame God. You know, we always have to find someone or something to blame. There has to be a reason. There has to be, you know, what do we do with this anger? And, you know, me and my fiance were talking about that the other day when we go through our back and forth about religion every once in a while. We go through this, you know, where it's the human side is, why did this happen? You know, what is, you know, the whole purpose, the whole thing when people say there's a purpose for everything or there's a reason for everything. I used to hate that. And sometimes I still hate that saying because, you know, the human side of us says, okay, what's the reason for so-and-so dying? What's the reason for that baby, some psychopath raping a baby, you know, or like the tragedy that just happened where all those people got shot up and killed, like, you know, what is the purpose for that? You know,
yes.
Things that happen to us individually, there's things, God, thank God that nothing, you know, like you said, physically, you were not attacked or injured physically, but just the pain and hurt in your mind, knowing that someone, you know, violated your home. You know, it, that still hurts, even though you weren't personally violated. Women that are personally violated, it's like, what is the purpose in that? You know,
right.
you can't see it, and you need our nature says we need to find somebody to blame. We need to take
right.
that anger and put it onto somebody else or put it onto something else. And if you're a spiritual, even the most spiritual person, a lot of times turns it to God and says, God, if you love us, if you're our Father, and you knew this was going to happen, why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you tell me to, you know, not take the bus this morning? Why didn't you tell me to, you know, stay at church 10 minutes later and I wouldn't have gotten home, or, you know, to call my daughter in from outside playing early and, you know, that wouldn't have happened to her, you know?
Absolutely.
You can't say, there's, you know, like my fiance says, you never know what happens out of that bad, even though that bad is extremely bad. You know, maybe now you have a story that you can share of how you got through it to someone else who's still stuck in it. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe you going through it, you know, hooked you up with someone else that could now lift you up and take you to another level in your life, that had you not gone through that, you wouldn't have been at that support group, you know,
absolutely.
To meet, you know what I mean? So there is kind of a reason for everything, and you know, unfortunately, sometimes we have to go through those really bad, tight spaces, like the cocoon.
I like that.
You know, you got to go through those really tight, uncomfortable, really bad places sometimes to get to that really better place.
You just said so much right there, and I know we just have an hour. You said something so poignant. So many things is running through my mind that I want to hit on. I know we don't got time, but it'll deviate from the interview, but yeah, I was like, why these things happen stalling in the world? Why did they come about? Why did Hitler come about? Why? So many questions. Why? That's why I wrote the state production. Why do bad things happen to good people? Lord, I don't understand. But it rains on the just and the unjust as well. And sometimes we do not understand. We don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we cannot ponder on the why of things. It just is. And sometimes that's where our decisions is hampered, if you will. We focus on the whys. I do not know why this happened to me. I really don't. If I focus on that, I know it will take away from what I am today, who I am today. I know that I have to keep moving. I know I have to remain focused, and it's a tragedy, and I'm not minimizing the tragedy anyone goes through. I could talk about being about somebody breaking in my home. I could talk about sickness. I could talk about poverty. I could talk about all these things. Everybody has a tragedy in their lives, but don't focus. It's all right to grieve, but don't stay there too long. Don't stay too
yeah.
long. Rise up. Somebody needs to hear
yeah.
your story and your testimony. Hear your testimony. What you're going through. You could talk to somebody who's just moved from another state, and you're a mother with your kids and things. You could talk about that. You could talk about wanting to get in school, and you just find out, whoa, these grants is not sufficient. You need to find more. You could talk about that. What's your decision? You decided to rise above it. You decided to do your show. You decided to say, I'm going to still rise. I'm going to go out there and find and research and do what I have to do to make me better. You know, don't become bitter. Become better in your situation. You might cry. It's okay to cry. We're human. That's our human side. But rise up after a while. Do what you have to do to be a survivor. And survivors don't give up. They can't afford to give up.
Yes. That's a mouthful, you know, especially the part of not grieving for too long. You don't want to stand still, you know. You don't want to stand still. You don't want to stay in your pain. You don't want to stay in your mess. And it gets comfortable, you know,
oh,
no
yes.
matter what it is. It gets comfortable. I know what to expect.
Yes.
You know, it's the same principle of someone who stays in a bad relationship or a bad job or whatever. It's comfortable. I know what to expect. I know
mm-hmm.
what I'm supposed to do here. I know what to make my day a little bit better. I know when my day is
yes.
going to be a little
yes.
bit worse. This is comfortable.
Yes.
If I,
yes.
you know, step out, I don't know what's out there. You know, it's that same sense that keeps people from excelling. It keeps people from being all they can be because it's, well, I'm used to this, and if I want better, and it's not that people don't want better, it's they're scared of the unknown. You know, there are some of us, and it's not everyone, but, you know, some of us are scared of the unknown. One of the groups that I belong to, I think it's Author's Corner, I think is the name of it, someone in there had posted a few days ago about being all that you can be and authors excelling and achieving and getting to where they want to be. And my response was, you know, I want to, but there's a lot of us that don't know the way. You know, you don't know the steps to take, and you get stuck. We get stuck here, you know, and I know for me, and I'll be the first one to admit, I'm scared. You know, you get used to not having, you get used to struggling to pay your bills, you get used to wanting and seeing everyone else around you achieve, and you're like, okay, now I know I have it in me. God, I hear you telling me it's in me. I see the dreams that you're putting in my head. I see the house. You know, I see that this gift has not left. So I know it's that you've given it to me, but what's going to happen if I step out on faith and I put my trust in you and I actually get it? You know, people say, well, you're going to be happy. You're going to have everything. But for some of us, it's like, yeah, but then what do I do? You know what I mean? For some people, it's just that simple. But for others, it's like, okay, but, you know, what do I do if I can pay all my bills? You know, what do I do if all my dreams come true? That's a foreign concept to some of us. You know, that's more scary than struggling.
Yes. You know what? You said so much there, delicious. You've been somewhere. You actually experienced something. You know what? Pity can be an addiction. It really can. People will go wanting remorse stories given to them. And when you go through something for so long and you've been denied and you've been rejected, if you put a grasshopper in a glass and its capacity is at least 6, and you put it in a 3-inch glass, for a certain amount of time, it might is programmed to think that it can only leak 3 when it actually can leak 6 inches. So when you go through a repetitive hurt and rejection, the mind is conditioned to say, whoa, it's going to happen. Even though you're stepping out, I'm telling you, there's power in your tongue and power in how you perceive yourself. If you believe something's going to happen, then it's going to happen. And some people can feel, sense your aura that you radiate in the earth, in the atmosphere. They know if you have low self-esteem. They know if you have high self-esteem. So when you go through rejection and hurt for so often, which for me, when I was going through my ailment, I walked bent over, okay, because I had these tubes in me, and I had to walk bent over. And when the tube, I had them in for 3 weeks, and when the tube was finally removed, I was walking bent over, not knowingly, subconsciously, I was walking, and it took someone on the outside looking in. And it was my mother. She said, stand up straight. You're bent over. Well, I didn't know I was walking bent over. My mind was programmed and my body was conditioned because I've been through so long and I was walking like that to walk like that when I was actually free. Let me say that again, when I was actually free.
Mm.
But when you go through something a long time, you have to reprogram, you have to regroup, and you can't do something normally you can't do it by yourself. It takes a village. It took a village to do this production. It took a village to write these books. So you have to really connect yourself with some like-minded people. Make sure you reach out to somebody, not frenemies. I just learned that word a couple weeks ago, months ago. And they're out there. Make sure you got someone who's solid as a rock, who got your back, who you can go to and depend on, who can breathe into you. Because you're hurting by yourself, you're just going to launch out, lash out, leash out at everybody. So make sure you surround yourself with positive people going somewhere, someone who's made it. And you know what's another thing I tell people to do? Challenge themselves. Don't stay in a comfortable position. You get outside the box. If you're scared of something, challenge yourself. Take baby steps at first until you're gradually able to make those big steps. I did that with me all the time. I'm like, Vanessa, girl, what are you doing? You walk crazy? You ask for it here? Oh, God. And on the outside, I look like I got it together. I'm bold and fierce. But on the inside, I'm quaking like a bowl of Jell-O. But, you know, I learned from the process. I went to head CEOs. I talked to them. I asked them questions. Hey, what it takes to be in business. Hey, I called up people. I want you to come on my talk show. Sushi Wine is things of that nature. I just launch out. Only thing they can say is no or yes or no.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So don't let fear be a handicap for you. Always remember that life is life. And life, you have to breathe. Just breathe and do. Be bold, you know? Go after your goals.
Awesome. This is awesome. I hope that all of our guests that tuned in and those listening on the phone and those in the chat room totally enjoyed Miss Vanessa and, you know, reach out to her. Check out her website, which is VanessaRichardson.net. You know, friend her on Facebook. Check out her book. Support her plays. Hit her up and let her know, you know, what city you're in so that she can, you know, add it to her to her tour. Raheem also, you know, he said, make sure you hit New York, Baltimore, you know, that tri-state area. Anywhere around there he is willing to travel to.
Make
sure I plug, tell you all of that. He said, wherever, if you hit any one of those three, he will be there.
Awesome. Thank you, Raheem. Appreciate that.
You're so welcome. So in our last minute or so, anything else that you would like to say? This is your time. The stage is yours.
Thank you so much. I just want to thank you so very much for allowing me to come here and just share my passion with your listening audience and viewing audience. I just want to say this for those who are listening. It's not happenstance. I don't believe in happenstances that you tuned in tonight, and I pray that you receive something from what I'm saying humbly. Everyone, God has given everyone a gift or a talent. You have that gift and you have that talent, and not everyone is going to see or receive your vision. If you've given an assignment, go ahead and carry it out. And guess what? God, I believe, will connect those divine people to you, and it's all about him, and it's about you. Just accepting, breathing, and living. Enjoy life. Go to the museum. Walk. Go to the park. Forget about these situations that you can't control. It will pass. Mm-hmm. And it's like the weather. The weather always changes. There's always seasons. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's always these things. But always try to see the good. And I have a leader who says this, that you should have 99% of the time to be happy and 1% to be sad. Happiness is a choice that you make. So go ahead and write that book, write that drama, be that actress, lose those 50 pounds if you have to. You know, just be happy. It's your decision. Go out in the pursuit of happiness.
Wow. Happiness is a choice. I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. I thank you. I'm going to close with a poem, but I just wanted to thank you so much. And I'm going to say it again. I'm so blessed that I ran across your name. I don't know, remember what site we were on, and, you know, God definitely led me to you that day.
Yay.
And, you know, like I said, your name is what pulled me in, but, you know, he definitely put me in touch with a powerful woman of God, and I just feel so blessed and honored to, you know, be building a friendship with you.
I'm blessed to have met you, too. And I'm looking for greater and better things from you. I really am. So let's stay in touch with each other.
We will. We will. I am, again, hoping that everyone will, you know, reach out to Vanessa and get in touch with her via Facebook. I'm going to close with my poem. We got about 2 minutes left. I'm going to close with my poem, and I'm going to wish everyone a wonderful night. My poem that I'm going to close with is called I Love You. This is a poem that I wrote going through some stuff when me and my fiancé first got together. So, I love it. Finally, I can say it, got the nerve to display it, breathe down deep and allowed myself to show it. I love you, baby, and I don't care who knows. You're the reason I smile, I go the extra mile. Loving you makes me feel alive. There's no one, nowhere that can get it in the way, can get in the way of how I feel. No one nowhere that can tell me that this love thing here ain't real. No one nowhere that can change the color of my love except me or you. The world can try, they can push, pull, or shove as they might, but my love is stronger, deeper, realer than even I knew. As long as you hold my hand and I walk beside you through the hottest of fans, yelling as loud as I can, God damn, this is my man. Soon they will all see and have no choice but to acknowledge that what we have, nothing short of death, meant to be beyond fate. We're making history. Have faith in me. This is so different, so new, yet beautiful. I'm loving it, and I'm loving you. I'm finally complete. My other half is now whole. My soul is no longer torn. I've found what my heart has been yearning for, you. Stay blessed and have a wonderful day. And I'll see you guys back here on Monday.
Good night.